Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation that you're a part of, another shooting incident. Thank God it was stopped in New York. My thoughts on that and moving on. Is this the end or is there many more to come? Also, former Islamic State sex slave tells Congress that we need to deal with ISIS now. It's not a Republican or Democrat. It's someone that's been there, done that. What did Ben Carson always say? You know, how would you deal with this? Well, I would go to the military and I'd say, what do you need to get the job done? He would bow down to an expert or someone that knows. Also, a man tried to kill Trump at a Las Vegas rally, but he was quickly subdued. Are we in for another 1968 Democratic convention with riots and violent protests? Folks, what have I always said? Learn from your past before you can go forward. Also, Trump fires Lewandowski and says that it's time for a different kind of campaign. I'll get into that and why he said what he said and what he's doing. Also, Lindsey Graham says he knows who will be the next president. Like, anyone really cares what Lindsey Graham says? I mean, like, anyone's paying attention, really, folks? Editing of 911 tapes from Orlando shooting. I'll get into that. And also, this Monday will be me and my wife's 1-year anniversary. I'll get into what, just some advice for people out there that might be considering getting married or whatever, or are married. Help them out. That. Also, English Premier League news and much, much more. So, welcome to the conversation that you're a part of, folks. Praise the Lord. Praise God our Savior for each day he carries us in his arms. Psalms 68:19. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And welcome. What an amazing program we have. And thank God there was another attempt at a shooting that was, thank God, they were stopped. Those three people. And from what I've heard, they're trying to figure out what was going on. It was like a 52 and a 53-year-old man and like a 28-year-old lady, I think. And they were basically heavily armed. And thank God it stopped. They stopped it. You know, that's all we can say, you know. God was there. And is it the end? I think there's, like my mom said, I don't understand it, but the media takes these people and glamorizes them. And in their sick, demented mind, they're like a celebrity. You know? Here's Johnny. You know, they're just like psycho celebrity that, hey, if I sit there and I go kill people, I'm going to be on the news. And you have no idea who is there. I mean, But when they obviously know this is a terrorist, okay, call it what it is. If he's going to kill somebody and attack America, he's a terrorist, period. Whether he's a homegrown American terrorist or he is an ISIS, if you're going to terrorize and kill Americans, you're a terrorist. Terrorist does not mean Islamic extremist. If my next door neighbor started shooting people up and terrorizing people, she's a terrorist, period. Anyone that wants to terrorize us, you know, call a spade what it is. If you have a heart, it's a heart. If it's the color red, call it red. I'm just glad God was there. But when you have to edit things to get your point across, you know, when, like, the inventor of the AR-15, when he goes, well, when they edited key parts of my interview, how can you trust what liberals say when, like, you have to have someone like John Stewart that, oh, he interviews someone for, like, 2 hours, and then they edit the interview to make a guy that supports minimum wage, that he doesn't support increasing the minimum wage, to make him look bad. They can't take what he says face value and say, okay, well, without editing you, this is why you're wrong. No, we have to edit you to make it look like you don't know what you're talking about. They can't say, okay, we're going to interview a guy that's against minimum wage increases, and we're going to get our point across without having to edit, without having them to answer the question 15 times until they get it wrong, until they mess up. Why can't they, you know, why can't they just call a spade a spade? Yes, he was a terrorist. There's evidence now that even the FBI is covering up evidence that there are several people that have come out that saying that guy involved in the Orlando shooting, I talked to him. I messaged him on a gay, like, app or like a gay website. There are several people that are coming out and saying he was gay or whatever, because, hey, I talked to him and communicated with him on a gay website. Not negative, not dissing gays. That's just what they said. And the FBI says that there's nothing when they've done a paper trail that would ensue that he was gay. But there are people that have come up that said, yeah, I've seen him at these gay nightclubs before. Why he did what he did all of a sudden, unless he tried to befriend people to make himself look like he's gay, that way he could have easier access to do what he did. You know, they're covering up the fact that there are people that will come out and say, yes, he was on this app, he was on this website, yes, I did communicate with him, he, you know, so whatever. I don't get it. Why they want to cover up things, you know. It's like even, what was that? I said this a while back ago, but Jesse Marcel Jr. said that whenever he talked about the Roswell incident and his dad, they would edit things he said in a way to make him look like he didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't sit there and say, okay, yeah, you, here you go. I don't get why they have to edit things. You know, my dad was, you know, Roswell was a closed base. He had to have high security clearance to go there. My dad's not going to misidentify a weather balloon. He used to bring those things home for me to play with. You know, but they would edit to make them look, because that's what they have to do. You know, they have to edit what someone says about AR-15s, because if they don't, their point's not going to look right, because, you know, they have no point. Their view or their opinion doesn't hold true. So they have to skew and edit what you say to make you look funny when actually you know what you're talking about. You know, a liberal can't stand behind the fact that 90 out of 100 people in the United States, for every 100 people, 90 own guns. We're number one in gun ownership, but we're 111th in gun violence. And if Detroit, like I said last week, was its own city, as it is, you know, Detroit's its own city, but if it was its own nation, it'd be the second highest in gun violence. And guess what? They have very strict gun laws, you know. Why don't they smarten up and say, okay, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cocaine, legalize it. Heroin, legalize it. Regulate it. Get it out of the cartel's hands. You're going to have to deal with the number one thing, like anything. Okay, I guarantee you, as soon as you make pot legal, you're going to have these kids that are going to be like, oh, cool, we need to find out where we can get like a candy ball that's got like 8 trillion milligrams of THC in it that we can get totally bleeped up. You know? Just like I wouldn't want my kid going and getting a bottle of Everclear and just downing the thing. You got to educate people. Tobacco is legal, and you know what? We have decreased the usage because we've educated people on how dangerous it is. We've shown people that the tobacco industry knew in the 50s that it caused cancer, that they knew it was addictive in the 60s. And they've done stuff to try to make it more addictive so it's harder to quit. Tobacco hasn't gone through the roof since it's been legal. They've actually been able to bring it down. And I guarantee you with cocaine and heroin, if you legalized it and get it out of the hands of the cartels, you could lower the usage of it by educating people. Just like if you try to ban guns, you're just going to make it worse. Just like cocaine and heroin and alcohol prohibition was. You want to know who wanted alcohol prohibition? Like if you listen to the program, you know this. Al Capone was a huge giver of money to keep alcohol. He was paying millions. Imagine when Al Capone was alive making $40 million a year on bootlegging liquor. Why would you want to lose that? Why as a pharmaceutical company would you want to have marijuana legal? Here, you need to have these five drugs help work on your symptoms. These other 10 work on the symptoms from these first five. Okay, if you're taking 7 prescriptions and you could eliminate them with cannabis, why would you want it legal? But that's what's going on here, folks. They have to delete and edit. So what? Maybe, unless they're saying that terrorist, as I get back to it, from the Orlando shooting, maybe they're not wanting to come out with the fact that he may be gay because they want to keep some of the evidence, you know, secret. They don't want everyone to know what they know. But they've said that there's nothing. They've come out and I, under the oath, we have no evidence that he's gay. I honestly think it might have been something he was doing just to try to, you know, hey, I'm going to get into this BDSM club and, you know, and do this kind of stuff and get into these gay clubs. That way people know me, so when I go and do what I do, I'm not going to stand out as a... I'm not going to, you know, stand out. As like, okay, everyone here's got a white shirt on and I got a purple shirt. Oops. I didn't get the memo, you know, when he walked in there. Hey, we know this guy. He's our buddy. I'm friends with him on this site. I'm friends with him on homodate.com or gaydate.com or whatever they are. I don't know what they are, but, you know, that way he wouldn't stand out. And that's honestly what I believe. He was doing what he was doing, whether he's gay or not, just to, so he wouldn't be like a sore thumb. He wouldn't stand out and everyone would be going, well, who is this guy? I've never seen him before. You know, he wouldn't set off alarm bells. But don't worry. Charlie Rangel said I think it was this morning or yesterday, something to the effect that he should be able to have people protect him, but his own constituents, the own people that vote for him, shouldn't be able to carry a gun. Well, I shouldn't need a gun, but he should have people protecting him. That's what he said. Didn't go any further than that, but... So like Barack Obama should have 8 million people with guns protecting him, but they don't want me to be able to protect myself. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of people I know, you know, like Adolf Hitler, you know, Kim Jong-un, all these people that took guns, Kim Il-sung, you don't need guns, we'll protect you. Now that you ain't got no guns, now we're going to force you to do what we want. Just what I want to do is have a bunch of government politicians and everyone loaded, and they'll never confiscate guns, folks. If they ever got to try to ban guns, let me tell you something, folks, Civil War would happen, guarantee you. You think someone like Ted Nugent's going to give his guns up? I think not. What did Chris Rock say when people told him to stop supporting the Confederate flag? He told them where to fly. He told them where to take that kite and where to fly it. You know? Because he's smart. He's not PC. How much Do you hear in the news about the Washington Redskins? Not too much, because every time they look into it, they find that Native Americans support the Washington Redskins name. When they tried to get everyone on this bandwagon that it's offensive. Now, I do apologize for saying that W word, you know. But really, folks, they couldn't keep people like, who cares? The Native Americans aren't offended by it. Why are you trying to act like we should be offended by it? If you call me a cracker and I'm not offended, why should other people be? Why should this Asian be offended by the word cracker if you call me that and I'm not offended and I am one? That's the world we live in, folks. That's what happens when you stand up and you just ignore stuff and you say, hey, we're not, you know, that's what happens. That's why I think I'm glad a lot of people don't watch the news in some respects, because some of these things they try to push with the liberal media, they don't see it. But the problem you have is there's, and that's the number one question I get asked. How do you educate? How do you get someone that, I'm voting for Hillary, la, 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 I'm voting for Hillary, leave me alone, la, 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 I don't care, I don't want to know, I don't care. So what? I hope she took and poisoned a million Americans. I hope, I'm still voting for her, I don't care. You're never going to, I'm voting for Hillary, period, I don't care. You're never going to change my mind, I don't care. I don't care if my taxes go up 1,000,000%, I'm voting for Hillary, I don't want to hear it. That's, how do you educate someone like that? That's that stupid. I mean, I don't know. Because they have people that have, like, Trump's a racist. He's KKK. And, like, okay, where do you get that? And they won't even comment, or when they can't even answer you. Well, he's against Mexicans, okay? Where did Trump ever say he's against Mexicans? He's against illegal people coming here. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that people just can't sneak across the border. Period. Whether they're Mexican, Russian, German, whoever they are. If they're not going through the legal, proper way to become a citizen, I don't want them here. Because it's only a matter of, I mean, if you can get all this cocaine and heroin through the Mexican border, I think it's pretty safe to say that you could get terrorists in this country. People that want to kill us. You know? But you're racist. I'm racist because I want to ensure that people that want to kill us don't make it into this country. Well, then I guess I am a racist. You know, I want to protect. I have friends that one of my friends sent me a thing like, stop Trump. I'm like, well, all, because they have this belief that, well, Democrats don't want war, Republicans want war. Trump doesn't want war. I don't want war. No one wants war. But I don't want to have people that want to kill me growing. Most people, when they have a yard, if they see poison ivy, they don't say, okay, well, how can I increase the poison ivy and poison oak so it continues to grow and populate? No, they kill it because there's no benefit to poison ivy or poison oak. There's no benefit to people like Al-Qaeda members and ISIS members that want to kill us. Well, all these Republicans have gone to war, but Obama, he hasn't had to fight. Well, he didn't have to do anything. You know, but when our own Americans are being killed by these people and nothing's being done, and that's when they don't say anything, because they can't. They can't justify. They can't justify it. And you say, okay, well, yeah, Obama hasn't gone to war, but, you know, when France got attacked, Holland did something. When Russia got attacked, Putin did something. When the U.S. has been attacked, Obama has not done anything. He's tried to take our only protection away from us. He's trying to take the guns away from me because people who are getting guns that are intent on killing us, they're not the problem. Even when you have, like, there's a gun shop owner that red flagged it. And the FBI did nothing. Sort of like those tax returns a couple years ago in Indiana where this guy was red flagging tax returns because these people were claiming 15 and 16 Mexicans, most of them that didn't even live in the U.S. And some of them were claimed on like 5 or 6 tax returns. Nothing was done at the time. It's ridiculous, folks. It's ridiculous. But the U.S., see, the politicians don't want you. They just want you to be dumb enough to go to work, pay your bills, and come home and don't realize you're getting screwed. That's all they want. And, like, if they ever try to really take our guns, I know so many people that own massive amounts of guns and ammo that, okay, well, if you have my guns, I'm dead. So, hey. You know, a guy at a Trump rally tried to kill Trump. Really? He has protection around him. You're not going to... It's scary. Scary what this world's coming to, but you think about it like this. You know, and I've said it before. All Obama has to do is claim martial law and that all the elections stop until he says that this country's safe again, but that would be great for him because so many people still think the world of him. I don't know how anyone can think the world of a guy that is denying what's happening in this country. We're getting killed by extremists, and we need to look at. See, he was easily able to get a gun. Well, if he couldn't get it the legal way, he would have gone under the table and gotten it. You know, what did they do? They banned cocaine and heroin and meth. Give me about 2 days and I could probably get you all 3 of those. But they're banned, so I shouldn't be able to get anything. You know, you ban guns, you shouldn't be able to get a gun. You know, but like Charlie Rangel said, you know, I should be able to have 75 million people protect me with guns, but you shouldn't be able to own one. That makes a whole heck of a lot of sense there, buddy. You know, I think we're headed for another 68 Democratic convention with riots and violence. All because you have people that, and I think it's just ridiculous, all these people that are anti-Trump, but if you can actually say, okay, this is why I'm anti-Trump, and actually have, okay, you know, because the thing that he's racist, that's out the window. Other presidents in the past, to look it up, when it has come to American safety, they have banned certain people from this country. When 9/11 happened, we had travel restrictions. Because who knows who's getting in this country? It's part of our safety. You know? Oh, but I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, Trump is not necessarily the right answer, but he's a heck of a lot better than Hillary Clinton. And this is what even gets more better as I move on. And I did that more better thing. It's kind of like a joke. Best-selling thriller writer Brad Thor was on The Blaze, and he said that if he can get 15% of, if he can pull 15%, he will jump in as a third-party candidate. Well, Gary Janssen, the Libertarian, I think he's pulling at about 15%. All those guys are going to do is take away votes that would go to Trump. Because I don't think too many people who are Hillary Clinton supporters would say, you know what, I'm a huge Hillary fan, but you know what, I'm going to go with Gary Johnson for a change. Sorry, I don't think that's going to happen, folks. I really don't. I really don't. They're just going to take away votes that would go to Trump. And that's the whole point of the game. I don't want Hillary Clinton in there. Trump's a lot better than Hillary Clinton, but I don't think he's 100% the right person. Well, we don't really have a choice. I mean, if someone like Brad Thor or Gary Johnson was polling at like 45%, okay. But they're not. They're polling at just enough. They're going to be like a Ross Perot, if they're lucky. And they're going to take just enough votes that would probably go to Trump for their campaign, which would get Hillary Clinton in. And like I've said, the whole point is not to get Hillary Clinton so she's not in there. I just think it's a bad idea, you know? I mean, I could see if he came out like 7 or 8 months ago or 9 months ago, but it's kind of late, in my opinion, for a third-party run. I mean, does he have enough signatures to put his name on the ballot in all 50 states? I don't think he does. But, you know, we need to get Trump in there and pray to God he does something right. Pray to God he does what he said he's going to do. Pray to God he says, pray to God he's one of the few people that does what he says. Well, Trump has fired his campaign manager, Lewandowski, and he says it's time for the campaign to go in a different direction. And they're not, it's not like he's like, you're fired, get the bleep out of here, I don't want nothing to do with you. They're friends, they're on speaking terms. He just wants the campaign to go, okay, yeah, you got me this far, now I want to move into another direction. And as soon as Trump was nominated, in my opinion, and basically got the GOP nomination, he should have just went for Hillary Clinton tenfold. That's, you know, he should just be firing at the hips. You know, doing what I don't think most Republicans do. They, you know, Democrats go off on them, but they don't do anything. They don't fire back. They don't do nothing. And that's, you know, I hope that's what I want to see. That's the one reason why I kind of like Trump, because he doesn't, the left doesn't want him, the right really doesn't stand behind him. He's kind of like, hey, I'm here because the American people want me, not because the Republicans support me or Democrats support me. R&D means nothing. It's about integrity. You know, R&D means nothing. If you have an R in front of your name and you're basically a progressive socialist liberal, what good is that going to do? What good does having the D in front of your name if you're very conservative? That's why I'm voting for who I think is going to do the right thing. And I just have a feeling that some of these third-party people might just try to, well, I'm polling at 16%, so I'm just going to take enough votes that would have went to Trump. And I don't think I don't think someone like Brad Thor has a snowball's chance in hell of getting anything. I really don't. I think it's honestly, you got Hillary Clinton, and you got Donald Trump. You know, you got the douche and the turd sandwich. Pick one. And if you heard in some recent news, There's an executive order that Obama did on immigration. Well, the Supreme Court struck it down and defeated it. And Obama's, in his infinite wisdom, you know, we're not going to deport you people. Don't worry. You know, just keep coming across the border, even though the Supreme Court, you know, this executive order to make all you legal, I'm not going to deport you. You know, just stay here, whatever. We'll feed you, don't worry. We'll clothe you. Just vote for me. Just vote Democrat, and we'll make sure you're taken care of. We'll ensure that you can vote without having an ID or anything. You don't have to say your name or anything. You just get a thing and just, you know, vote anonymous. You know, that's where it is. But that, you know, it's almost like these executive orders, even if they get struck down, it doesn't matter because Obama's, just stay here, folks. You know, make Mexico better. Why don't, you know, I'm not leaving my country. I want to make my country better. You know, that's why I do this radio show, to hopefully educate people. Not because I have to. I mean, I enjoy doing this. I mean, some people ask me, I'm just going to quick go into this because someone asked me, because I don't talk about this a lot, but, you know, somebody asked, well, how'd you get started on this? And I've talked about it on a couple radio shows, so if you're a frequent listener, you probably heard this before, but I got started because I did the first two when I found this on, like, paranormal, you know, like ghosts and stuff like that, because I've always been fascinated by, like UFOs and USOs and ghosts and stuff like that and different things and, you know, and like Roswell and it's amazing how in the last like 110 years the technology leap we've had compared to like 2,000 years combined prior, you know, and stuff. And from there, people used to ask me, well, what's going on? Your post on Facebook and this and that. So I did several episodes explaining because I have a metabolic type muscular myopathy, like a muscular dystrophy, you know, and I'm in pain all the time and this and that. And that's why I'm pro cannabis. And I'm like the pain management clinic I went to for a long time. I'm like, I try to use anything I can, not just meds, you know. So I did stuff and explained what I have and going through, and, you know, I've recently been diagnosed with celiac disease, and so many people, like my mom eats at a lot of places. I'm like, well, if you look at this, this is only for people with gluten sensitivities. You have celiac. They say this is not, cross-contamination is there, and this is there, so, you know, and I'm dealing with that, but, you know, I started, you know, I've always been a political nerd. I've always loved watching the elections, and I've always been very, my dad brought me up, you know, to, when I was real young, one time I did a Halloween costume with a bunch of swastikas, not realizing what it was, because I was really young, like 6, and my dad sat down and explained to me, and that's when I got into history, and like, okay, I want to know more, you know, what this is, and all about history, and, you know, and that's where I got this bug about, okay, well, how can I support something if I don't know what it's about or where we've been, you know? Okay, well, if somebody wants me to support something, how can I support it if I don't know if it's good or bad? You know, that's why when they have all these people that they ask them questions, you know, about this, or Hillary supports Sharia law, do you? And you rarely get people that say, well, let me see here, I would love to have more people say, well, I don't know what that is. Let me get back to you. You know, I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to answer. You know, you may get out like 30 people, one person that's going to say, I don't know, you know, and I'd rather have that than, but heck. You know, and I just started doing this show, and it's something I like, and I just want to educate people because I'm, when you see these people on there that, well, congratulations there, Kim Jong-un, for nuclear bomb testing and hydrogen bomb testing, and, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of bomb it is. If someone's testing a bomb, I'd be like, well, what do you mean by bomb? You know, when they don't even have the common sense to think, what do you mean by bomb? Are you talking like, is that a new form of where they take hydrogen and they explode it and then they capture the energy and they're using it to, you know, for electricity or for cars? I'm just wondering. You know, questioning it. But people aren't doing that. And that's kind of, and I've been doing this show ever since, I think like 3 years or so. And I think it's been like a year or so since I've been doing it on Thursday nights at 9. But it's just one of those things that I'm just passionate about. And I love this country, and it was founded by people like me that want, that this is what my country is about. It's about freedom. It's about having rights. And so many people are voting. So many people are voting for the very, they want, the, you're voting for this. You know they're taking your freedom. I just wish that there was, I just don't know, how do you educate the people that don't want to hear it, don't, I'm voting Hillary, I don't care, I'm voting Bernie Sanders, I don't, you know, and don't know anything, don't want to know, don't care. Hopefully we can get to some of them. Got about 22 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you all so much for spending your 1 hour a week with me. It means a lot, you know. And you know, take this, and if you know someone, share it. Get it out there. Get people saying, hey, I've had a couple people like, they're like, well, why aren't there more people like you out in the lamestream media? And, you know, out there. Because, you know, I wish I knew. Calling it like it is. You know, that's, you know, I will always have, you know, if they own my guns, I'll be dead. And I hope that doesn't happen. You know what? Something's got to give in this country. You know, well, I don't believe that an American should be able to have a gun to protect himself, but I should be able to have 75 armed guards to protect me. Right there, Charlie Rangel, I don't understand. And people will back him up and support that. So when a guy comes in and starts shooting, you should be defenseless, but he should be able to have people that can shoot at that guy. How does that make sense? You say an armed person is not going to make a difference. Like this one lady in Chicago, and I said this before. Well, if there was someone with a gun on that bus, when that guy came in and started shooting on that bus, it wouldn't have made a lick of difference. It would have made it worse. Okay. You say it's going to make it worse. So Charlie Rangel wants to, if it's going to, if like people with guns are going to make it worse, then why should, then how is Charlie Rangel being protected going to help him if it's not going to help me? If I'm going to make it worse by having, if more guns are going to make it worse, then he should be advocating for no protection for him. Because how can he advocate for protection for him but not for me? Because I shouldn't need protection, but he should need it, because it's going to be worse if I have it, but if he has it, it's going to be the miracle cure. It'd be like having a medication and saying, well, it'll help him, but not you. Same medication. Oh, he should have it because it's going to cure his cancer, but you shouldn't have it because, you know, it's not really going to do anything. It's, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand this double standard world we live in. I don't get it. I don't. That's why, you know, where's God? That's what we got to have. We got to get back to God. And this Monday, me and my wife, believe it or not, she has put up with me for a year. Congratulations, honey. You deserve something for that. Putting up with me for a year.
Love you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for putting up with me for a year.
But yeah, I mean, because I see so many people complaining, and I'm probably going to be sleeping on the couch tonight. I'm like, I don't understand, because I don't know. I guess we're just so blessed to have each other that we don't take each other for granted. You know, we don't. The only time I'd have her sleep on the couch or me on the couch is if I'm sick or she's sick and it's more comfortable or something or whatever, and we just don't want to cross-contaminate each other, and then I can fully understand that. But for me, I don't know. I guess, how hard is it to get up in the morning and take some toast and make her eggs? It's not hard. Well, but, you know, so many, I don't know, so many people just bicker and argue and fight. And I'm like, we have our differences. We have our misunderstandings, but we just don't want to hurt each other. So we just, okay, that's it. You know, and usually it ends with that. But that's what I give. I mean, we're like little kids. You know, everyone has, well, this is my 2-year-old's birthday. This is my 2-year-old and 1-day photo, 2-year-old and 2-day photo. You know, we celebrate like every anniversary and do something. You know, everyone says, well, that's going to end soon. Well, why does it have to? You know, you can keep things going. You can do stuff daily. You know, you don't have to stop. You know, but some people, I guess, do. You know, you can keep that newlywed spirit going if you want to. You don't have to, but you can. And I guess that's what we try to do. I mean, my best man and a maid of honor, we're going up Saturday. We're going to go see a Christian band, Striper. Back in the day, if you don't know, in the 80s, you know, Kiss was Knights in Satan Service, and AC/DC was After Christ the Devil's Come, and it was all about the devil. And they thought, well, oh, rock and roll is the devil. And Striper came out and said, well, why can't we play rock and roll and praise God at the same time? And Striper's an amazing group. And they're going to be in Battle Creek, I think, in Michigan. We're going to go see them Saturday night. And there's like a bunch, there's like, I think, 3 opening acts that are like 80s hair band. Like, one's Hair Mania. They're like cover bands. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But because I've seen their Striper's Live in Indonesia video, so I know they're going to play only for like 1 hour and 20 minutes. It's not like, we're not going to get like what I'm used to with like Rush or like I'm Grateful Dead, where they're going to do like a hour and then a set break and then an hour. But still, it's going to be amazing because I've always wanted to see them, you know. But I know it's probably going to be like, I'm expecting it's going to be like Tom Petty. Well, I'm just going to start getting into their music, and they're going to be like, oh, we're going to do one more. We want to thank you all for coming out. And I was like, when I saw Tom Petty, I was expecting to see, because he'd been around for a long time, I was expecting to see him do like a hour and 20 minutes and then set break and then maybe like another 40 or something. And I'm just getting into Tom Petty. And it's like, okay, thank you all. We're going to do one more. Thank you all for coming out. Peoria, Illinois, you guys were great. And I'm like, and then Brandon's like, man, that was awesome. Like, I was just getting into it. I finally started to get into the music, and it's like, okay, that's it. I guess because he had been around a long time and had so many albums, I expected a longer show from him. But I mean, I'm not dissing it. I still had a great time, and I know Striper will be the greatest time in the world because I'll have my wife with me. So, and it's a bucket list I can check off. Because I'll say, I got to see Striper, and we're going to try to actually see if we can get to see if they can request if we can
try and find them.
Yeah, and see if we can get a request in, you know, like to see if they can play like Always There for You or Honestly or something, you know. We'll see. You know, but and then I think Monday we're going to do some stuff, you know. But it's just, I don't know. We just try to keep that spirit of newlywedishness going. You know, and the biggest thing I can say is when you're dating somebody, know who they are and accept that.
Amen.
Don't sit there like, well, oh, I thought, see, okay, we're married now. Are you NFL? You're going to watch football on Sunday? Are you kidding me? Well, no. Okay, like, so because I'm all of a sudden married now, well, I could do this. I could say, now that I'm married, my wife can't watch the Tigers, only I can.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but seriously, if you're into something, you should, if you like something, it should you shouldn't change. Because that's the thing, I think so many people try to change.
Exactly. If you want to change them, then there's something wrong and they're not right for you. If you can't accept them for who they are.
And that's how we believe. That's how I believe.
That's how we live. That's
yeah.
how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what you were into. I knew what you were like. You knew what I was into and what I liked. And we've accepted and adapted and grown.
Yep.
And loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, you know, and that's what you got to do. Just a little Delilah on the radio. Hello, folks, I'm Delilah, the love doctor. Hello, folks, I'm Fraser Crane, and welcome. I love that show. That was great. But, you know, but that's what we try to do. You got to accept the person for who they are. You know, I've met so many people that, like, well, my wife is all cool with me, and then once we got married, all the stuff that I did before, now she's biting my head off because I'm doing it now. Like within, you know, that's why you sit there and say, hey, you when you said I do that you wanted to marry me, you accepted me for who I am. If you didn't accept me for who I am, you should have said no. Don't sit there and know that I support all these things. And once you say I do, then get mad because I'm into this. You know, if my wife came to me and said, oh, you want to, every Saturday or Tuesday night or whatever, you want to watch Manchester United, really? Well, you knew I liked them when I don't expect you to support United or be a fan. If my wife didn't like football, I'd be like, okay, yeah, you know, but she should at least respect, hey, he likes to watch football. He supports Manchester United. Lord help. We got Jose Mourinho, which I'm warming up to him. Not that I like him per se, but I'm warming up to him because.
Good for you, because I don't think I will.
Well, John Terry, the captain of Chelsea, has said that Jose Mourinho, he believes, is the right fit and there's going to be success. And I don't know. I don't really. We'll have to see. Win, lose, or draw, I will support United and I will stand behind Jose Mourinho. I mean, if we actually tank and we, okay, you know, we've lost the first seven home games or first seven games, then I'll say, okay, you know, but I don't know. I will still stand behind him until they would change or whatever. You know, just because all of a sudden we got Jose Mourinho, I'm not going to be a fan of United or, you know. Got about 10 minutes and 45 seconds or so left in the program, folks. And I really, really want to thank you all for tuning in, you know, and spending an hour a week with me. I'm just surprised. It's just great to be here. And wow. And NASCAR took the weekend off and the Xfinity Series was on Sunday and stuff. And, you know, is the NASCAR changing the cars and all that stuff, is that really affecting attendance? And that, is it the economy? You know, and one thing I do love about NASCAR is when I go to a race, I know I can go and I can have food and I don't have to sit there and, okay, how much for the bottle of water? $12? I want to take it with me. I mean, like, I've found now if I want to go to, like, Soldier's Field, I always bring a cap with me. That way I can cap off my water bottle because they take the cap because you can fill it up with water and throw it at somebody. Well, I guess they claim you could drink the thing and then fill it up from the fountain. That way you're not wasting your $4 bottle. That's what I want to do, is spend $80 at a football game to see the Bears or whatever and then sit there and then go to jail for throwing a water bottle at someone. I don't know. But at least with NASCAR, you can bring your own food. So. And it's a good thing. You know, I think they're trying to, well, every time you turn around, I feel like, well, they had to chase for a map, but I think they figured out, Jimmy Johnson or someone figured out something, because there's only like, because for a couple years, all he has to do is start this race, and we can go in the Homestead Miami Speedway without a champion. Well, I mean, with the champion already crowned, and they want to, you know. And I do kind of like the format, like I said last week, where at the end of the season, there's four cars that are vying for the championship. And I do like this new setup, that they have this chase. I mean, I've been a fan of NASCAR since like 88, 87, 86, you know, the 80s. So I like it. I think they're trying to get from the fans, what do you think? What do you like? What do you want? You know, and I think it's cool that like four people have the chance to win. You know, could it be Harry Gant? Could it be Stroker Ace? Who knows? That's one of my I love that Stroker Ace movie. Clyde Torkel Chicken Pit Special, fastest chicken in the South. That's what got me hooked. When I first saw that movie, I'm like, cool. And then when you go and a car goes by at 190 miles an hour, you're like, wow. Couldn't imagine being in that car, let alone just seeing them go by. But I wanted to bring this up before I forget, but there's a All-Star Bar and Grill in Warwick, Rhode Island. And Tony Ambrosio is the owner, and he had to fire a server. Because I guess on the, you can put like the customer's name on the ticket or somehow identify him. And he put Fatty as the customer. And the owner, when he saw that, was offended and had to fire this customer. And the customer was his own son. And I'm like, yes, sir. You're going to call someone Fatty? Me and my dad used to go to this restaurant all the time in Connecticut, and like every night he would have like if you went to the front desk, they'd ask for your name and all this stuff, and that guy may not know you from heck or high water, hell or high water, whatever you want to say. They'd find out where you're from. Mr. Wilcott, how you doing? You're from Indiana. That must be where IU is. I've made this linguine and white clam sauce, and it's incredible, and it could be something that he's trying to get rid of, because after tonight, it's got to be thrown in the garbage, but he'll make you think that he went out of his way to get special clams just to make this linguine and white clam sauce, and he made that pasta fresh, even though it's got to be used or it's thrown out tonight. Today's the last day. It's been around for 3 days. And that's how you got to be. It's a customer-driven industry. And if you're going to sit there and write Fatty on a ticket, I'm glad he fired him. Maybe he'll make his butt up. You know, treat people like you want to be treated. You know, think about it. Just treat people like you want to be treated. It's kind of funny because... the other day, like three of my friends, we have like an Imperial Travel type thing where you can they do like traveling, and you can go on them on cruises and different things, and they have buses that will go to like all I don't know if they still do it, but they used to go up to, I know they provide service to the Brickyard and the 500. They do it for like Bristol and Talladega and Atlanta, and there's like 10 races that they go to. And they take buses up to Chicago, and you get let out, and you go see the game and all that stuff, and it's a great time because you don't have to drive or nothing. You can have all the Budweiser you want, except for me, because I can't have beer because I'm allergic to wheat. But it's great. And in the process of doing all this, I wrote my buddy Andrew. I'm like, go Cards, because they're playing the Cards. He's like, man, that's rude. I'm like, I don't really like the Cards. I was just kind of doing it as a joke because they're going up to see the Cubs. And I'm like, it was 4-3. I'm like, this is going to be great. It's going to be 4-4. They're probably going to go into like five extra innings. Cubs ended up losing 4-3 final. They didn't get home till like 3 a.m. and Andrew still showed up to work. Like, I didn't expect you to be here. I was expecting to get a call. Can you come in early? Andrew called in. I'm like, I'd have been there. He's like, I screwed up. I could have worked the day of the game because the bus didn't leave till 2. I could have worked till like 1 and then left and done that and then taken Wednesday off. Like, that's, if you would have taken Wednesday off, I'd have covered for you. It's no big deal. But I still think it was funny. But I want to bring this up to you folks. The whole time everyone's been talking about this, my last little bit, the Obama administration takes unilateral Gitmo action while the media is focused on Democrats' gun control sit-in. Yes, a guy that was supposedly one of Bin Laden's bodyguards. He is being released and being going to Montego Bay, a nation or whatever, and I guess it's, you know, because they're going to close Gitmo and all this, and I guess they're going to take them in and all this, because they've been rehabilitated, so now we can release them all. I don't get it. I really don't. I just don't get it. You know, where is this world coming to that we're going to let all these, we're going to close Gitmo? I don't know. But who am I to say? I'm not the dictator in chief. You know, if he wants to let all these people go, I mean, if they're truly what they were, I mean, I don't know. I guess they got to be treated humanely. You know, they'll kill us, but oh, we can't waterboard them because that's inhumane. But they'll take and chop our head off. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, folks? That's liberal logic. We got to be humane to people that are going to kill us. Oh, you can't handcuff that guy. Because that's inhumane. Got about 90 seconds left in the program, folks. And no, I don't get it. But and if anyone could ever figure it out, I'd love to know this liberal logic where, you know, it's going to be dangerous for me to have a gun, but as a politician, I should be protected by the very thing that's bad, you know? Oh, more guns are bad, but more guns around politicians being protected by them, that's great. Folks, wake up. Think while you still can. And I want to thank my lovely wife for being my biggest fan for two or so years now. It means the world to me. And, you know, and we just treat every day like it's our last because you never know. And that's what I always tell people to do. You know, think while you can, live while you can, do while you can. You know, because before you know it, you're going to be like, wow, I used to do everything I could to go out. Now I do everything I can to stay in. Remember, folks, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Thursday, good night, and God bless. Goodbye.